I believe that God has something that he wants to speak to us, and I'm excited, something that God's been stirring in my heart. And so I want to invite us just to stand just for the reading of God's word, if we're not already standing, and we can bring the lights up just so that way we can see. But we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, and to all of our online family, we say it's good to see y'all as well. Church family in person, y'all make some noise for all of our online fam, everybody who's watching online, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. While you're turning there, church family, I want to say thank you all so much just for honoring God through your generosity in this season. We have been in this season that we call our legacy giving season, where we say we're going to go above and beyond as a church to give so that way more people can come into the kingdom of God, so that way we can reach more people, so that way we can serve our community in a greater way. We can bless schools like Burbank Elementary School right across the street from us in tangible ways. So church family, thank you so much for your generosity and giving to the legacy offering, so that way 2026, we can see God do even greater things in the year to come. Amen, somebody? And if you haven't already given, you got about an hour and 9 minutes to give for it to go towards 2025 giving. So go ahead and do that if you, you know what I'm saying, if you care about that. But nonetheless, we thank God for all your generosity. But Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, one of the things that we oftentimes think about as we come into a new year and have hopes for a new year, our hope oftentimes is that the new year will be a better year. But for me, it's not just about it being a better year. My hope and prayer is that you will become a better you. Yes. That more than we want a better year, you want a better you. Yes. Amen, somebody? Yes. And I believe that God wants to do a new thing in our life. And I believe that the word that God's going to speak to us tonight is going to help us to step over into that. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. We're going to jump down as well to verses 19 through 23. And for some of us, this might be a familiar passage of scripture. For some of us, it might be new, but I believe God has a word for all of us. So here's what verse 13 says from Matthew 2. After they were gone, they meaning the wise men who came to bring gifts to Jesus when he was born, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped. Everybody say escaped. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say escaped. Escaped to Egypt. He stayed there, meaning Joseph, until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Verse 19 says this: after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, because those who intended to kill the child are dead." Can I pause parenthetically and let you know that God can take care of your enemies better than you can? Verse 21, so he got up, he took the child and his mother, and entered the land of Israel. He entered. Everybody say entered. Entered the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee. Then he went and settled in a town called Nazareth to fulfill what was spoken. Hey, baby, I see you up here. Look, I love the babies. I love the babies in the church. He withdrew to the region of Galilee. Then he went and settled in a town called Nazareth to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. I want to preach from this theme of thought as we conclude 2025 and we step into 2026. And I want to call today's sermon and tonight's sermon, "This is my exit." Can you tell the person that you're standing next to, tell them, "Hey, neighbor, I don't know about you, but this is my exit." Come on, find somebody across the room. Yell it as loud as you can. Say, "Hey, neighbor, I don't know about you, but this is my exit." Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us, that you would give us hope, give us encouragement as we stand on the precipice of a new year. God, I pray that your word would enlighten us, encourage us, that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that you would teach us your ways. that we might lean into 2026 in the way that you've called us to experience. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. You can be seated. This is my exit. Now, I want to begin by asking us an honest question. How many of y'all, by show of hands and online, put it in the chat, some hand raise emojis. How many of y'all have ever been lost on your way to get somewhere? Just by show of hands. Come on, let's be honest. How many of y'all have been lost while following the navigation system? Come on. Where are my people at in here who like, it don't even matter what kind of GPS I got, I'm still going to get lost in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, let me ask some of us, how many of us in here know what it's like to follow the GPS only to not take the exit or to miss the exit that the GPS told you to take, but you passed it well before the GPS told you to take the exit? Come on now. Come on, Siri. Many of us know what it's like to miss an exit. Many of us also know the severity of missing exits, how missing an exit could cost us something, how missing an exit could cost us time, how missing an exit can cost us gas, it can cost us energy. Missing an exit can cause us to miss an appointment that is extremely critical for us to attend. Missing an exit can cause us to miss out on a job interview that we cannot afford to be late for. Missing an exit can cause us to miss out on something that has the potential to change our lives. And I believe all of us under the sound of my voice, myself included, know what it's like to miss an exit. I believe all of us here online as well know what it's like to not get off at the exit that you were actually supposed to get off at. All of us know what it's like to not exit something when we are actually supposed to exit that thing. Which brings us here now to Matthew chapter 2, where we see the biblical characters that we are familiar with by the names of Joseph and Mary, and obviously our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a baby. Many of us are familiar with the original Christmas story when Jesus was born. We're familiar with Mary and Joseph. We're familiar with the angel named Gabriel who came and visited Mary on that random night or that random day that she was not expecting to hear that she would carry forth the Savior of the world. Many of us are familiar with the story of Joseph, the one that Mary was pledged to be married to, and how upon his conversation with Mary and him finding out that Mary was pregnant, decided in his mind that he was going to quietly divorce her, because on the surface it appeared that she had been unfaithful to Joseph. But upon further investigation and Joseph having an encounter with an angel in a dream who tells him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, which then leads to Joseph marrying Mary and being the earthly father and the earthly mother of Jesus, that is our Savior of the world. Many of us are familiar with that story. But what many of us may not be familiar with is what happened after the birth of Jesus. Many of us might be familiar with the fact that angels shone up and there was a heavenly host singing glory to God in the highest, as we see in the book of Luke chapter 2. But many of us might not be familiar with what happens here in the latter part of Matthew chapter 2. Because after Jesus is born, the Bible says that the king by the name of Herod in that day and time was insecure because he heard that a king was being born and he felt like his kingship would be threatened, and therefore he puts out a decree to massacre and to kill newborn baby males in his day and in his time, which now happens to impact Joseph and Mary. Because Joseph and Mary now find themselves not just entertaining or navigating life now, not just as husband and wife earlier than maybe they expected, but now also navigating the fact that they are newborn parents, but then also dealing with the fact that their newborn baby's life is under the threat of being murdered by an evil king by the name of Herod. In this text, we see that Herod is plotting murder. His newborn son named Jesus is under threat. And Joseph receives this command in the middle of the night from an angel in a dream that says, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. The Bible helps us to see that this wasn't just Joseph's first time making a journey somewhere. Earlier, we discovered that he had to make his journey to Bethlehem because of a census taking place. And so he and Mary, who was pregnant at the time, find themselves having to go from where they were to now journeying to Bethlehem. But now, after Jesus is born, they find themselves under this threat from Herod, and now they have to relocate again. Now, let's be honest. I don't think Mary and Joseph intended on any of this happening when they got married. I don't believe that they intended on their whole entire life being uprooted and their whole entire life being turned upside down. I don't believe that they intended to go to Egypt. I don't believe that they intended to find out that the life of their baby was being threatened by an evil and wicked king. Here's what I can believe is true about Joseph and Mary. This past year for Joseph and Mary has been anything but peaceful. It's been stressful. It's been stressful because they had to deal with the gravity, and they've had to deal with the complexity of the fact that their lives are turned upside down. Can you imagine Joseph and Mary? I want you to put yourself in their shoes. They received news that they didn't expect to receive, that they would be the parents of the Savior of the world. They also received news that their son, Jesus, has the potential at the hands of Herod to have his life executed. Their life, family, is being turned upside down. This wasn't a year of relaxation for Mary and Joseph. I believe in many ways this was a year of survival. They're surviving. And if we're honest, I think all of us know what that feels like. Because for some of us who are here under the sound of my voice and watching online, 2025 has not been a year of thriving. It has been a year of survival, where it feels like I've been just scraping by from month to month. Feels like I've just been hanging on by a thread. Come on, where are my honest people that can say every day of this year has not been roses and sunshine? It has not been peaches and cream. It has not been perfect. No, I feel like I've just been hanging on by a thread at different moments throughout the course of this year. Unexpected things have happened in my life, and we oftentimes feel the same tension that Mary and Joseph might be feeling, and we're at the end of the year, and many people are asking, what am I supposed to do next year? How will 2026 look any different than 2025? Many of us might be even asking this question, God, where are you in the middle of all the mess that I'm walking through and in the middle of the mess that is called 2025? How do I move forward when everything feels unstable? And some of us are sitting here at the end of the year and we're thinking, this year did not go the way that I planned. I did not plan to get the diagnosis that I received. I did not plan to have to suffer the way that I'm suffering. I did not plan to have to walk through divorce in my marriage. I did not plan to have to deal with losing a loved one. I did not plan to have to be laid off because of the furloughs and the jobs and the governments and the things that are happening all around. I did not plan on things happening the way that they're happening. I did not expect to experience the loss that I'm experiencing and the discouragement that I'm experiencing and the depression that I'm experiencing. And it makes some of us wonder, did I miss God somewhere? Did I miss my exit? Let me say it like that. Did I miss something? I don't know if you've ever been in a place where everything was going wrong. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you said to yourself, anything that could go wrong is going wrong? Come on, where are my honest people at in here who can say, man, there's been some times in my life where everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Where everything that could break down is breaking down. Where everything that could dry up is drying up. The minute I got some money was the minute it left my hands. The minute I got a friendship was the minute another friendship ended. We had these moments in our life where we find ourselves dealing with chaos and dealing with stress and dealing with worry and dealing with anxiety and feeling overwhelmed. But I want to give us some good news on this last night of December 2025, that in the midst of the chaos that was surrounding the birth of Jesus and what Joseph and Mary are experiencing themselves, there was one thing that was consistent that we see in chapter 1 and also in chapter 2. And the thing that was consistent, no matter what Mary found herself dealing with and no matter what Joseph found himself dealing with, the thing that was consistent day in and day out was God speaking to them in the middle of everything that they were walking through. In the middle of the stress, God was still speaking to them. In the middle of the worry, God was still speaking to them. In the middle of the uncertainty, God was still speaking to them. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we see in this text. Because while Herod was plotting demise, God was still speaking his word. While the world was unraveling around them, God was still speaking. And in the middle of uncertainty, God was beginning to give clarity. And the reason why that's good news for all of us here today is because it means no matter how chaotic your life is, no matter how confusing your life is, no matter how stressful your life is, no matter what it is that you've been carrying throughout the course of this year from January to December, no matter how bad life has been, no matter what it is that you're walking through, I want to let you know that God has a word for you. No matter the season of life, no matter what it is that you've been walking through, God has still been speaking to you no matter what you've been facing. Matter of fact, I want you to write this down. God has a word for your life in spite of your life. I'm going to say it again because I don't think y'all got it. God has a word for your life in spite of your life. Pastor, what do you mean by that? It means that even if my life is the worst that it's ever been, God still has a word of hope that he wants to give me. God still has a word of encouragement that he wants to bring my way. God still has a word of victory that he still wants to bring my way. Meaning this, if you find yourself anxious, God, he still has a word for you. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and petition, bring your requests to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you find yourself afraid, you can understand that God says in his word, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and a sound mind. If you find yourself discouraged, God speaks in his word and he says, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. If you find yourself feeling alone, you got a word from God where he says, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. And I'm here to encourage some of us who find ourselves at wit's end and we're wondering whether or not God still cares about us. I'm here to let you know that God still has a word for you no matter what it is that you find yourself facing. No matter how empty you feel, no matter how drained you feel, no matter how confused you feel, God has a word for you right in the middle of whatever it is that you are walking through. And some of you all are here and can testify that when you found yourself at your lowest moment, God sent a word, whether it was from his written word, whether it was through a preached word, or whether it was through a spoken word from somebody else. God sent a word that began to lift you out of depression. When some of you find yourself dealing with anxiety, God spoke a word that brought you out of that. When some of you find yourself dealing with doubt, God spoke a word that got you out of that. When some of you find yourself walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God spoke a word and said, you don't have to fear because I'm with you. And I just want to know, is there anybody here on December 31st at about 11 o'clock at night? Is there anybody here that's grateful for the fact that God speaks in the middle of what we find ourselves walking through? That God speaks in the middle of your storm. God speaks in the middle of your struggle. God speaks in the middle of your chaos. I think we should take about 10 seconds right there and give God praise for the fact that he doesn't just speak when things are going well, but he speaks when things are not going well. God is consistent. Your friend might not be consistent. Your bae may not be consistent. Your job may not be consistent. But can I tell you somebody who does not change yesterday, today, and forevermore, and his name is Jesus Christ. Thank God that we got a God who is consistent and speaks in spite of what we're facing. Tell the person beside you, God's speaking to you. He's speaking. He's speaking. And this text helps us to see that not only is God the God who directs, but he's also the God who delivers. Why is that so important for us to understand? Because a lot of times, as we come to the end of one year and go into a new year, oftentimes what happens is we're so concerned about what we're stepping into. But God is also concerned not just with what we're stepping into, but what we're stepping away from. God is not just trying to take us to somewhere. He's also trying to take us from somewhere. Come on. And the reason why that's good news is because some of you all have found yourself in all types of situations. I'm here to let you know that God not only wants to take you somewhere, he wants to take you from somewhere. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to bring you to a place that he's called for you. He wants to bring you to a place that he's promised to you. I'm here to let you know that where you are is not where you have to end up. Where you are is not the end of your story. I'm here to let you know that God has greater things on the other side of whatever it is that you're facing right now. He's not just the God of entrances. He's also the God of exits. So as we stand at the end of one year and go into another year, kind of let us know it's not just about entering somewhere, it's about exiting somewhere. I want us to know that God wants to take you and I from glory to glory. He wants to move us from one place to the next. I want you to know that God is concerned with you and I exiting one season and entering a new season. And what we see from Joseph and Mary is we see them exiting one place to get to the place that God has called them to be, which was Nazareth. He called them to leave where they were because he was calling them to go to a different place. And I think that's so fitting because as we're at the end of this year, going into a new year, the message is simple. God wants to take you to a new place. I thought I would get a few more amens right there. It means that you don't have to stay stuck where you are because God has more. It means that no matter how bad things are, can I let you know this? God always has an exit plan. Just like there are exit signs over these doors in this sanctuary and throughout this building, we know that what exit means to leave a place, to arrive to another place. Can I let you know that just as a building has an exit plan and exit strategy, heaven also has exit strategies. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords also has exit strategies. And I want to give us a few things for us to consider as we prepare to count down into a new year that I believe is necessary for us to adopt and to have, to cross over from one season to the next, to exit from one place to the next place. Now, the 7 o'clock service, I can tell they ain't like this word. No, I'm lying. I'm kind of not, but old preacher would say it was so quiet you could hear a rat licking ice. What kind of rats you know that lick ice like that? I want to give us three principles that we see here in Joseph and Mary's life and story that I believe are applicable for us as we move into one year from another. Number one is this. If we're going to exit where we are and cross over into where God wants us to be, we got to do this. Number one, I want you to write this down. We got to hear God. Everybody say, hear God. I want you to look at verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to kill him. And what's interesting about this verse, family, is this isn't the only time that the Bible records Joseph having an interaction with an angel in a dream. Joseph is receiving a message from God through an angel in a dream. He's hearing from God. And as he's hearing from God, I want you to think about the wording here. The Bible says that an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now, I'm going to ask y'all the same question that I asked 7 o'clock. I'm going to see how y'all do. How do you end up in a dream? What has to happen? You got to be sleeping. And more than likely when you're sleeping, what are you doing? Being still. I ain't never seen nobody fall asleep while they were running and sleep while they were running. I'm not saying it's not possible. I just haven't seen it. But Joseph is in a still position and posture. And as he's in a still position and posture, what happens? He hears from God. What is the principle that I believe that God wants us to understand from that point? That in order for us to hear from God, write this down, we have to be still before God. And we live in such a hustle and bustle culture where we're moving at breakneck speed, where we're going from here to there, where we're working 24-hour shifts, where we're doing this and we're doing that, and we don't know how to sit still. Some of us, come on, some of us are guilty. We're like, I don't know how to sit still. And the problem is, if we don't learn how to sit still, we will never learn how to hear the voice of God. And it's not that God has a speaking problem. We often have a hearing problem. Joseph was in this position, in this posture, to hear from God. He was asleep. Can I let us know something? God's not silent. Our lives are just often too noisy to hear him. It's like God's like, it's going to be hard for you to hear me when all you hear is Netflix. It's too late to talk about that. It's hard for me to get to you, and it's hard for you to hear me when all you hear is 103 Jams. Z104. Podcast. Come on, y'all not talking to me now. Y'all getting real tight. It's hard for me to hear. It's hard for you to hear from me when there's so many things that's competing for your attention. And here's what I've recognized. Here's what sometimes God will do to get our attention. Sometimes God will make us stop. Because the message that he wants to get to us is so critical and so important that if we miss it, we miss what God has for us. So watch this. One of my mentors said it like this. He said, one of my pastor mentors years ago, he said, hey, Edwin, one of the things you need to understand with being a pastor, you need to either learn to rest or God will make you rest. So what do you mean by that? If you don't learn how to be still, God will set things up in your life to make you be still. What does that look like? It means he'll shut some things down to get your attention. And maybe for some of us, that's what's happened this year. We've been trying to figure out, man, why is this not happening? And here's what some of us have done. The devil behind it. God's like, no, that was me. I stopped the relationship from happening. Y'all not ready for that conversation. Because a lot of times we attribute things to the devil that God is actually behind. I'm not saying the devil's not opposing us. He is. We have a real adversary who opposes us in our walk with God. But do you not recognize that God is not just the God of open doors, but he also closes doors? Come on. We shout over God being the God of open doors, but we get silent when we hear God closes doors. He opens doors that nobody can close, and he also closes doors that nobody can open. What if the theme of next year was not the year of open door, but the year of closed doors? Ain't nobody gonna shout over that. 2026, the word that God gave me for the Bridge Church is the year of closed doors. Ain't nobody shouting. Because here's the reality. Sometimes God will allow certain things to happen in our life, not to punish us, but to get to us so we can hear him. And what we see with Joseph is that he hears him. Here's what Psalm 32 verse 8 says. I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct you and show you the way to go with my eye on you, and I will give counsel. Can I let you know? Here's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to instruct us and show us the way to go. Meaning this, we can't have this mentality. I'm gonna do me. Doing me gets us in problems. I need to follow his instruction, which means I got to hear him. And the question that many times people are asking is this: how do I hear God? How do I begin to hear God? By spending time in prayer. That's why we're getting ready to go into 21 days of prayer and fasting starting this coming up Sunday, so we can hear from God. We're gonna turn down some of our pleats from all the sweet potato pie we had during the holidays and all the vanilla bean ice cream that we had. And we're gonna say no to those things so we can say yes to God. I always say it like this: fasting is not about getting God's attention. Fasting is about God getting our attention. That's what this season is about. It's about him getting ours. How do I hear from God? By getting in the word of God. Spending time in his word. Y'all, God has made it so easy for us to get in his word. It's on our phones now. By getting in his word. Some of us are like, man, I don't know what God is speaking. How much time am I spending in his word, though? But I don't have time. But you'll be on social media 8 hours a day. What you mean? Tell the person, what you mean? You on Instagram, making reels. Oh, I gotta do better picture, more light. There we go. We TikToking. We YouTubing. We Facebooking. You know, you like to put like in after everything. We Netflixing. But we don't spend no time in the Word. And it's going to be impossible for me to hear from God if I'm not in the Word of God. And the way that I hear from God is by getting in his Word. I challenge the first service to this, and I want to challenge us to this. That 2026, my challenge to us, especially if you call the Bridge Church home, is that all of us will not miss more than one Sunday a month in church. Oh, I know that's hard. I know. Oh, I know it's hard for some of us. Because they say the average person only comes to church 1.5 times a month. That's what the stats say. And if I'm it's 11 o'clock. I can keep it 100 with y'all. I'm tired now. I'm feeling it. Now you're not getting Pastor Edwin. Now you're getting Edwin. They say the stats say people come to church 1.5 times a month. And I know that to be true because I see who comes to church on Sundays. I ain't seen them in 5 weeks. Pastor Edwin, come back. Edwin, get away. No. I want to encourage you to be in the house of God, to hear the word of God. And I want to celebrate all of you who are here tonight and watching online, because you could have been anywhere else at 11:30 on New Year's Eve night, and you are here in the house of God. You're posturing yourself to hear from God tonight. You're already on the right track. You ending your year right. And I believe in you. You're going to start it off right by being here in church on Sunday. Come on, see y'all. All right, what happened? This is how I hear the word of God. Here at our church, we have what we call connect groups. That's another space where we hear the word of God, where we get around other people in our church family, and we study the word of God together. We do life with one another. We don't just come to church. Sundays are good, but Sundays aren't enough. Just like I can't just get in the word of God only on Sundays. I need it every single day during the week. Here's what Jesus says. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I got to hear from God. And if you want 2026 to be different, can I prophetically say this over your life? 2026 can be your greatest year of your life if it's your best year spiritually. You want 2026 to be great? Make it your best year spiritually. Make it your best year. Show up to church. Get in the word every single day. Start a Bible reading plan tonight. Order a Bible tonight. Come to prayer and fasting. Saturday morning prayer. 6 a.m. prayer when it's time to do that. Be intentional. Seek the Lord in prayer. Seek the Lord in his word. Here's the second thing, because y'all get real uncomfortable. I'm going to keep moving. Not just hearing the word and not just hearing God. Here's the second thing. This is where it gets real. I can't just hear God. I got to obey God. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. This isn't the type of message to preach on a New Year's Eve night to like rile us up and to get us excited about 2026 in a traditional way. But if I were to sit up here and tell you that at the stroke of midnight, that God has a blessing with your name on it, there's going to be a check in your mailbox as soon as you get home in the amount of $1 million. God is going to do it. God. You got to make it in God. And the Bible says, I'm going to be honest with you. This is the message to preach if we're trying to get a response out of people. But this is the message to preach to get righteousness out of people. You want to know what a fruitful life looks like God's way? Abiding in Christ and obeying him. How do we see this in Joseph? Because what does the Bible say around verse 14? Notice what the Bible says in chapter 2 of verse 14. It says this. So he got up. My old Baptist preacher in me said, he got up. Talk about Jesus. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night, and he escaped to Egypt. He got up. What does this mean? Joseph followed the instruction of God. He obeyed God. And throughout the life of Joseph that we see in this text and other texts in the Bible is that Joseph was not a perfect man, but he was an obedient man. He followed God. He followed God, hear me, even though the instructions did not always make sense. He followed God in spite of chaos, in spite of corruption, in spite of discouragement. Watch this. In spite of him having other options, he obeyed God. He obeyed God in spite of what he might have been wrestling with on the inside, any doubts, any concerns, any worries. He obeyed God. And not only did he obey God, here's what the Bible helps us to see. He obeyed God quickly. There was no hesitation with Joseph's obedience. The Bible says after he had a dream, here's what the Bible says. So he got up. That's immediate. Why is it so important? Because obedience is meant to be instant. Can I help you understand something? Delayed obedience is still the same as disobedience. Come on, let's be real. Let's be honest. Come on, y'all want to be honest right now? Let's be real. There's been some things that God told us to stop doing back in January. And here we are, December. Watch this. There were some people that God told us to leave. And they about to come over into the new year with you. Said this in the first service, let me say it again because I feel led by God to say it. Some of us are dating some people that God been told you to break up with them. But you keep justifying saying, but God, they're a good person. And God's like, they might be good, but they're not good for you. Come on, come on. Where is my Presbyterian church on 11:30, December 31st night? Because obedience means, God, if you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. Watch this. And I may not like to do it, and I may not feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That needs to be the mantra for some of us going into 2026. I don't feel like it, and I may not want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't feel like going to the gym. We here? But I'm going to do it anyway. I don't feel like reading my word. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't feel like forgiving them. But Jesus said, forgive your enemies. Y'all here? I'm going to do it anyway. Because obedience, family, is what sets us up to experience God's best in our life. Family, I want you to see what happens here. If Joseph is not obedient to God, Herod catches up to them where they are and more than likely goes through with killing Jesus. But because of Joseph's obedience, they leave where they are. And here's what the Bible says. They flee to Egypt. Can I let you know this? This ain't a sermon for right now. This is a sermon for another time. You ain't know that Jesus was an immigrant too? Him and his family fled to a whole other country to get away from an oppressive government. You thought the stuff that happens in the United States was new? This has been happening. It's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time. But because of Joseph's obedience, they are now protected. Can I let you know something? Your obedience and my obedience not only blesses us, it blesses others around us. Other people experience the fruit of my obedience. And some of us are saying, and I can hear some of us like, but Pastor, I don't understand everything. You don't have to understand completely for you to obey God immediately. Some of us are waiting for an explanation from God in order to obey God. I've learned that in order to sometimes get an explanation from God, you got to first start with obeying God. Because when you obey God, then what God will begin to give you some revelation and give you some direction. So I got to be willing to take some steps of faith and follow him, even if it doesn't make sense. Here's what Psalm 119 verse 60 says in the NIV. It says this, I will hasten. Everybody say hasten. You know what that means? Quickly. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. So God says, love your enemies. You know what that means? I got to love them. God says, forgive this person. You know what that means? I got to forgive this person. God says, be generous. You know what this means? I got to be generous. Come on, somebody. Watch this. Obedience, write this down, is the bridge between revelation and realization. Pastor, what do you mean by that? There are some things that we only experience as a result of our obedience. God has incredible promises for all of our lives, but the difference between why some people experience them and other people don't is obedience. Because if we say, I'm gonna do my own thing, well, now we miss out on the God thing. And I'm here to let us know, if we want to experience God's best, if we want to exit into what God has for us, then that means this, I gotta be obedient. Obedience is the bridge between revelation and realization, which means this, I'm gonna obey God in spite of how I feel, in spite of what I'm walking through, in spite of it not being popular, in spite of it not being comfortable, in spite of me being the odd man out, in spite of me being called church boy and church girl, Bible boy and Bible girl. Come on. In spite of me being called super spiritual and super safe. No, I'm going to be obedient to God no matter what, because God is the one who rewards obedience. God is the one who honors obedience. God is the one who blesses obedience. And I know this is not a word, this word obedience especially, that a lot of times people want to hear. But there's so many things that we miss out on because we won't obey. If you want 2026 to look different, start by obeying God. Follow him. And then thirdly, write this down. Don't just obey God, but then you got to trust God. Everybody say, trust him. Here's what verse 15 says. He, meaning Joseph, stayed there until Herod's death. Where did he stay? He stayed in Egypt. So that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Jump down to verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, because those who intended to kill the child are dead. So he got up, and he took the child and his mother, and he entered the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee. And then he went and settled in a town called Nazareth to fulfill what was spoken to the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Family, I want you to see what's happening here. Joseph not only obeyed God, but he trusted God to fulfill the very thing that God had promised would happen. Why is this important? Because it comes to a point in time where we've done everything that we can do, but we get to a point in time where now I gotta trust God. I gotta put it in his hands. And I gotta trust that God can do with Herod what I can't do with Herod. I got to trust that God will fulfill his plan through his prophets as he prophesied hundreds of years ago, just like he said he would do. I have to trust that no matter what I see happening around me, that God is still for me, he is not against me, and that he will bring to pass what he's ultimately promised. And here's what the Bible says. He stayed there until. Many of us got faith to step out, but not many people got faith to stay put. It's one thing to step out, but do we have enough faith to trust God to stay put, to stay where he's called us to stay, and to move when he tells us to move? Which now means this, part of trusting God means I got to wait on God. And let's be honest, we don't all like to wait. I got to wait on him. Because for us to experience the fulfillment of God's will, we have to be willing to be obedient and to trust him in the middle of it. Can I ask us this question today on this last night of December and this last night of 2025? Can and are we willing to get to a place where we trust God and where we wait on God? Where we trust him and when we wait on him. Here's what Lamentations chapter 3 verse 25 says. I want to close with this. I want to prophesy and speak this scripture over all of our lives. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Some of you have been waiting for all different types of things in your life. Can I encourage you and let you know, if you find yourself in a season of waiting, I'm here to let you know that the Lord will be good to you. The Lord will come through. The Lord will be good. He will be faithful. He will provide. He will answer. He will show up. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. So here's what verse 26 says. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Many of us know how to wait, but we don't know how to wait patiently and quietly. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're waiting for your food, after it's taking 5 minutes longer than expected, you want to talk to the manager. Where is the manager at? Throwing a fit, slamming chairs, getting loud, and it's only been 5 minutes. But the Bible says it is good to wait quietly. What does this mean? I don't complain. I'm not negative. I don't panic. I trust him. Faith says, write this down, I'll move when God speaks. But trust says, I'll wait while God works. And 2026, family, needs to be the year where we say, I am trusting you, God. 2026 needs to be the year where we say, God, I will trust you. I will trust you when it doesn't make sense. I will trust you when it's not all adding up. I will trust that you will provide. I will trust that you will open up the door. I will trust that you will make ways out of nowhere. I will trust that you will restore. I will trust that you will deliver. I will trust you with my career. I will trust you with my marriage. I will trust you with my health. I will trust you with my family. I will trust you with my resources. I will trust you. As this year comes to a close, family, we're making a declaration that this is our exit. That this is the time, family, where we exit from fear. Come on. This is the time where we exit from generational strongholds. This is the year that we exit from shame. This is the year that we exit from jealousy and from envy and from hatred and from evil and from spiritual apathy. This is the year where we begin to exit from the things that God does not want us to be in any longer. No, we step into what God has for us. And I want to let you know the reason why we can do this, the reason why we can exit from things in our life, is because of what God has done for us through Jesus. What's fascinating about this text, the Bible says that they went to Egypt to fulfill prophecy. Where the scripture says, out of Egypt I called my son. I love how God is oftentimes giving us context clues of what he's going to do throughout the scripture. Because if you remember, there was another deliverer who found himself in Egypt back in the Old Testament in Exodus. His name was Moses. And the Bible says that God heard the cry of his people. And he sent a deliverer by the name of Moses to Egypt to lead the people out of Egypt into a place of freedom, to set his people free. And now, the same Egypt that God the Father sent Moses to back in the Old Testament is the same Egypt that God is sending another deliverer in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, to be a perfect picture of that he is the God, not just of entrances. He is the God of exits, that he is the delivering God. And as he is the same God who delivered back in Exodus in the Old Testament, he is the same God who's delivering in Matthew. And he is the same God who's not just delivering in Matthew, but he's the same God who's delivering now in 2025, going into 2026. I'm here to let you know that God is here to deliver us, to bring us. I love the Lord Jesus because the Bible helps us to see that he exited heaven to enter the world. He entered the world through an empty womb, Mary. But then he exited the world through an empty tomb on the third day. Because he's the God of exits. And I'm here to let you know, if Jesus got up and he exited that empty tomb early 2,000 plus years ago on that Sunday morning, I'm here to let you know, if Jesus got up out of the grave and if he exited his tomb, I'm here to let you know that any person who now is in Christ, you have access to the exiting power of Jesus Christ. That because Jesus walked out of the tomb, I'm here to let you know that you can walk out of 2025 into 2026. I'm here to let you know that because Jesus walked out of the tomb, you can walk out of depression, you can walk out of anxiety, you can walk out of fear, you can walk out of worry, you can walk out of doubt, you can walk out of discouragement. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful for the fact that we got a God who brings us out of to bring us into, that we got a God who will take us from one place to a new place? We got a God who gives us the power to exit. To exit our fear, to exit our shame, to exit our stronghold, to exit our limitations, to exit our past. I'm here to prophesy and to preach to some of you who are here today. You have been in that place long enough. God is calling you out of that place. You have been struggling long enough. God is calling you out of that place. You've been dealing with it long enough. God is calling you out of that place. Thank God that we got a God who's the God of our exit. God is not only the God who leads us out, he's the God who leads us forward. Forward into a new year, into 2026. I just sense in my spirit, for some of us in this place and watching online, some of us have found ourselves in a holding pattern. And we've been in a certain place long enough. And God is saying, this is the year for you to exit. In acting and drama, they say exit stage left. Here to let you know that God has exit strategies. He wants to take you from glory to glory to glory. So as we cross over into a new year, yes, God is calling us to enter some things, but he's also calling us to exit some things. And the Bible says that Joseph and Mary found themselves in Nazareth just as God had promised. Can I let you know that as you step into what God has for you, it will happen just as God promised. Because he's the God of exits. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. As we're in this moment, as we're a few moments away from the start of not just a new year, but for some of us, a new beginning, a new hope, a new destiny. I believe that many of us have been trying to conjure up new life on our own. I'm here to let you know you can't. You need Jesus. The same Jesus who was with Mary and Joseph. The same Jesus who suffered for our sins on the cross. The same Jesus who raised back to life on the third day. The one who exited heaven so that you and I could enter heaven. That Jesus. And I can't think of a better way to start your year and to end a current year than by starting with Jesus. And for some of us, that's where we are. You need to start with Jesus. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. It's time for you to start with Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, and you're like, man, I need to start with Jesus. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. I believe that the greatest decision you will ever make is to give your life to Christ, to trust in him, to have Jesus. So on the count of three, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you're saying, I want to start my year with Jesus. I want to end my year with Jesus. I want to start with him. I want to give my life to him. I want to turn my life over to Jesus. On the count of three, would you shoot up your hand? One, tonight is the night of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed, the new has come. One, two, three, wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus tonight. You want to say yes to him tonight. You want to get saved. You want to become a follower of Christ. Come on, slip up your hand wherever you are. I just want to see you. You want to give your life to Christ tonight. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. For every hand lifted in this place, I want you to say these words after me. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Meaning we got relationship with him. So would you say these words after me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate those who said yes to Jesus tonight? Come on, I saw some hands go up. Amen. Amen. We got 14 minutes before the new year. And those of you who prayed that prayer to receive Christ, your new year is already here because you're in Christ right now. And the Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person comes into the family of God. I saw about five or six hands go up. Come on, can we celebrate one more time? Those who say yes to Christ. Amen. And hey, if you're here and you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, here's what I'm going to ask all of us to do. If we could actually grab that white connection card in that seat pocket in front of you or the seat that you're sitting in. And if you prayed to receive Christ, or maybe you have a relationship with Jesus, but you strayed away and tonight you're coming back to him, I want you to fill out that connection card. And I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. At the end of tonight, drop that in that drop box on the way out. We want to follow up with you. We want to connect with you. We want to celebrate with you. We got a gift that we want to send your way as well. We want to say welcome to the family of God. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, right before we get ready to cross over into a new year, I believe it's an opportunity for us to leave some things behind, to exit, so to speak. You may have noticed when you walked in, our welcome team gave you some index cards just like these. These index cards right now are for you to write down over these next few moments one or two things or many things that you want to leave behind in 2025 as you step into 2026. I want you to grab one of those pens that's in the seat that you're in. We got some pens. If you need some, just raise your hand. Whatever those things are, I don't care what it is. There's no shame here. There's no need to be embarrassed. Whatever it is that you're saying, I'm leaving this behind. I've been carrying this too long. I'm leaving it behind. This is my year to exit from this. Whatever that is, I want you to write that down. In a moment, our worship team is going to come back up. We're going to have a moment of worship and celebration as we get ready to count down into the new year. But as you write those things down, here's what I'm going to ask us to do. As we're worshiping, as we're singing, I want you to make your way down to the front. And I want you to bring these index cards. And I want you to drop that right here across the stage, on the floor, whatever you want to do. As a sign and as a symbol that I am leaving things behind that don't need to go with me in 2026. Amen, somebody. That I'm exiting some things so that I can step into some new things. Amen, somebody? How many of y'all ready to leave some things behind in this year as we cross over to a new year? Come on, somebody. Amen. So our worship team is going to lead us. I'm going to pray. And as we pray, as we worship, I want you to bring those things down to the front. We're going to have a moment of worship. We're going to have a moment of celebration as we believe what God is going to do in our lives moving forward. Father, we thank you that you are the God of exits. We thank you that just as you called Mary and Joseph to leave where they were, to step into what was for them. God, we believe in the name of Jesus that you are calling us to step out of some things, to leave some things behind, whatever it is, whether it's a habit, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a perspective, whether it's an addiction, whatever it may be, we are leaving it behind because we know that you have greater things in store for us. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, let's worship. Come on, let's write those things down. Bring those down to the altar, and let's worship in this moment. Come on. Come on, we're leaving things behind. The Lord is here. And I want to invite us to stand to our feet as we leave these things behind. We're going to take this moment to soak in His presence. We're exiting 1 year. We're entering a new year. Let's sing this. Let's worship this. Let's worship in this moment. Changing.
The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Right now, in this moment, as we get ready to cross over into a new year, we're going to have this moment of prayer. We're going to pray over all these things that we've left behind. So what I want to invite us to do, I want to invite us to make our way down here to the front in this moment to seal this moment. Whatever it is that you came in here carrying, we're leaving behind. We're leaving behind because God has greater things that He wants to do. As we're here in this moment, I want to invite you to lift up your hands as a physical sign and expression. God, I'm releasing these things to you. I am not carrying into a new year old things. I'm leaving things behind. Come on, for the next few moments, I want you to begin to have a moment with God. The things that you're leaving behind, come on, begin to speak that right now. Whatever it is right now that you came in here carrying, we're giving this to God. We're leaving this behind in the name of Jesus. Come on, fear will no longer have a grip on your life anymore. Strongholds will no longer have power over your life anymore. Generational bondage will no longer have control over your family any longer. Addictions will no longer control your house any longer. Low self-esteem will no longer be present in your life any longer. Come on, begin to declare these things over your life. Begin to speak the word of God over your life right now. Come on, take these few moments right now. We're declaring His word over our life right now. Come on, we got 7 minutes to the new year. Come on, begin to call down heaven right now. Begin to call on the name of Jesus right now. We're declaring victory in this place in Jesus' name. Come on, we're declaring. Come on, we're declaring right now. Come on, this is our year to exit. We're stepping from some things. We're stepping into some new things.
Come on, let's sing this. Spirit of God, fall fresh.
Spirit of God.
Come on, let's sing this. Let's declare this right now. With your hands stretched before heaven, we're crying out to Him right now.
Your kingdom come, your will be done here as it ever.
Come on, loud as you can. Spirit of God, fall fresh.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence.
Come on, your kingdom come.
Your
will be done. Spirit of God, fall fresh.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up everything that we have brought to this altar right now. Every stronghold, every worry, every concern, every habit, every perspective, every shame, every bit of our past, we bring it all to you right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that we are struggling with, we leave it at your feet right now. Lord, we declare and we decree that we will not carry into a new year which you have called us to lead in this year. We believe in the name of Jesus that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We believe that in the name of Jesus that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. So Lord, we lift up every need in this place right now. We lift up every concern in this place right now. We lift up every agenda in this place right now. We pray in Jesus' name that your kingdom will come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for breakthrough in this place. I pray for healing in this place. I pray for freedom in this place. We pray for deliverance in this place. We pray for a move of your spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you are beginning to lift up the heads of people who are depressed right now and who are discouraged right now. May they know that they are loved by you. May they know that you have plans to prosper them and not harm them, plans to give them a hope and a future. May they know that you are for them and not against them. I pray in the name of Jesus for supernatural success to happen in their life. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus because we believe by faith that as we are getting ready to cross over into a new year, that greater things are on the way. That greater things are on the way. That healing is on the way. That freedom is on the way. That deliverance is on the way. That strength is on the way. We believe in Jesus' name that you're getting ready to do things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. We believe in the name of Jesus that you're getting ready to do a new thing in this place. Come on, we got 2 minutes right now, church family. Come on, if you're online, can you begin to lift up a shout of praise right now? Can you begin to count down the grace of God in your life? Can you begin to get ready to cross over into a new year? Can you begin to celebrate what God has done and to celebrate what he will do? Come on, we got a minute and a half. We almost at the new year. We are a few moments away. We believe that God is going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine. Come on, you got 1 minute. 1 minute of 2025 left. 1 minute to get one more praise in. 1 minute to give God your best 2025 praise. 1 minute to give God your best 2025 worship. 1 minute. Come on, we're 50 seconds. We're 48 seconds away. Come on, where are my people at that believe that God is going to do something great in 2026? Where are my people at that believe that God is going to open up a door? Where are my people at that believe that God is going to answer a prayer? Where are my people that believe that God is going to do what he promised? Come on, we got a few more seconds. I need somebody to make some noise. Come on, we count down. 10, 9, 8. Happy New Year! Come on! Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Tell somebody Happy New Year!
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Oh, let's sing it.
I won't be quiet. I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it? I won't be quiet. I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it? I won't be quiet. I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
Let's sing praise.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Happy New Year! All right. Don't nobody go nowhere. It's 12:01. You have made it into a new year. Online family, you have made it into a new year. And as we are in a new year, 2025 for our church was the year of multiplication, where we saw God do great things. And every year we always have a new word that we believe God is speaking over our house, the church, and also your house. Where y'all going? Y'all done left. Y'all, we about to turn up some more. We always start off the year. And I'm going to talk more about it on Sunday, but I wanted to unveil it tonight and share with you the word for 2026. We said 2025 was the year of multiplication, and we saw God do great things. Come on, some of y'all saw God do miracles in your life like never before. But around August, during our season of prayer and fasting, God began to stir in my heart what I believe is the word for our church this year. In the midst of so many different conversations that I was having with so many of our people in our church and people that I come in contact with, and there was an overarching theme that I found that people found themselves in need of. And it was out of that and during that time of praying and fasting that God began to stir up my heart for the word for our house this year. And it was rooted in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, where God says through the prophet Isaiah, "Forget the former things. I'm doing a new thing. Forget the former things. I'm doing a new thing." Former things, not just bad things, but even good things. Because God's saying, I can do better than what I did last year. Forget the former things. And then he says, do you not perceive it? It springs forth. Oh, and that was the part that arrested my attention. It springs forth. And as I began to think about everything that God was showing me and speaking to me just in my own prayer time back in August and throughout the rest of this year, and thinking about Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 19, there was one word that continued to bubble up in my spirit that I believe is the word for the year. 2025 was the year of multiplication, but we are in 2026, and 2026, it is the year of the breakthrough, somebody. I believe in Jesus' name that God wants to do a breakthrough type moment in your life. I believe that God has some things that you're going to see happen in your life that you've been praying for, that you've been hoping for. It is the year of breakthrough. And I just want to know, is there anybody here that needs a breakthrough from God? You need a move of God in your life. Breakthrough. 2026, it is the year of breakthrough. Breakthrough in our passion for God. Breakthrough in our purpose from God. And breakthrough in provision from God. I believe that God is going to supernaturally do incredible things in every single person's life who is connected to this house. And I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to God doing breakthrough things in 2026. Is there anybody here today that's looking forward to a breakthrough in their life? So we say this, welcome to 2026, the year of breakthrough. 2026 will be breakthrough moments happening in your signs, wonders, and miracles happening in your life. Families coming back together, cancer being healed, doors being opened up, families being restored, people being saved, people being set free. This is the year of breakthrough. And we believe in Jesus' name that tonight begins that, that this morning begins that. Amen, somebody. Do y'all receive that? Are y'all ready for the year to breakthrough? Come on, how many of y'all ready for what God is going to do this year? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you did in 2025. We thank you for how faithful you were through the highs and lows. We thank you for how you were with us through every moment, every unpredictable moment, every unpleasant moment, every victorious moment, every successful moment. We thank you that you were with us. And we have even more confidence that as you were with us last year, you will be with us this year. That as we saw your grace multiplied last year, we will see breakthrough happen this year. We believe that it is so, and we believe that it will happen in Jesus' name. And every person who believes that, somebody shout amen. Somebody shout Happy New Year. High five somebody. Tell them Happy New Year. God bless your family. Have an awesome night.